Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the program, and we're here on a holiday to help you. That's right, the good advice continues on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 AM WJR, and we're here to help you with your computer problems. The phone number is 800-859-0957. So put the hot dog aside, hold the hamburgers. We got some answers for you at 800-859-0957. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, and my posse in studio. Delighted to have a group of guys here to help you out on this holiday weekend. Now, don't, by the way, this is a great time for you if you've been faced with problems with your computer, getting on the network, or you've had some things going haywire, and you haven't had time because, you know, you've been busy at work, and here you are sitting around, and you got the radio on in the background, and somebody's saying, hey, we'd like to help you. We've got a great group of experts in studio here. That's Mr. Gary Baker. Good to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here on this 4th of July weekend. And I will tell you that people can go to internetadvisor.net and hear a podcast that we did last hour for our affiliates and for podcasting on a book called There Will Be Cyber War by Richard Stedman.
Fascinating
that was
discussion.
A great discussion. I highly encourage people to
listen. Overwhelmed.
I
was just rapt just listening to this, and it sounded like the movies. It really did.
It did. Like a Tom Clancy movie. Like Red October, one of those
things.
But
it's reality.
Yeesh. That's kind of scary. That's Ed Rudell, who was with us in studio, and also Mr. Cal Carson. Cal, good to have you.
Hey, on a holiday like this, I'll fix your computer. Bring me some ribs.
All right. We don't have to exchange hot dogs or hamburgers for that yet. But the phone line is open right now at 800-859-0957. Last weekend, we had a kind of interesting thing. We started off a little slow. By the end of the show, people were just, our lines were jammed. So we would like to suggest that you get on the phones early and get your calls in, because it gets you a little better chance of us being able to tackle your problem.
Yeah, because last week was when Ed was working on a 14-year-old printer, right?
Was that?
Yeah, I think it was a printer that was...
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right.
yeah, they had a problem with it. It stopped printing, and then when we looked up the model number, it basically said, you know, we discovered it was a 14-year-old printer. And he's wondering why the ink cartridges were not working.
Were hard to find, yeah.
Yeah, and he kept on getting the same ones refilled or replenished again, and I'm like, it's a 14-year-old printer. Go out and see if you can, you know, just buy another one.
Yeah, spend $80 and get a printer.
All right, we got some folks starting to call in right now. Let me give you the number again, 800-859-0957. We're going to get folks lined up. Mr. Mike Brennan will be with us a little later on in the hour. He's out vacationing in the western part of the state of Michigan, and we'll get him online to talk about some very interesting things coming up. And matter of fact, something for people who have jury duty in Macomb County. A really neat perk is on the horizon for them. But again, the number is 800-859-0957. Cal, have you used Apple Music at all?
Just a little bit. I've kind of looked at it, but I really haven't gone deep into it, because I've always been the type, although I will say I did load my iPhone up with the latest release, 8.4, and it went on flawlessly, no problem at all. And most of that was because of Apple Music. Uh-huh. There was a couple other patches with it, but it was mostly Apple Music. But I like to sit back and wait.
Yeah, I know.
I am an Apple fan, and I won't, you know, I won't be ashamed of saying it, but this one, it just wasn't coming across quite right for me, and I'm just waiting to see how it's working.
Let somebody else have all the initial problems.
Yeah.
Now, I'm confused. I mean, maybe I forgot something, but remember when Apple Labels and the Beatles basically said that they gave Apple the ability to use that name as long as they don't go in the music industry? And then Apple came out with iTunes, and so they wrote a little disclaimer that says, okay, well, you can use iTunes because you're not syndicating, you're not publishing the music, you're just now here we are again, and Apple still has the Apple label, you know, Apple computers, then you have the small Apple recording company, and you know, did Paul McCartney give him permission to broadcast
that's
radio?
A very good question.
Because
they had
to get a special dispensation for iTunes,
like from the Pope.
Well, maybe as long as they weren't creating the content, it wasn't an
that
issue
may have
for
been
them.
It.
Which
that
I think is probably what the bottom line is. As long as they didn't create a recording studio.
I'll have to ask Sir Paul McCartney next time I see him.
Okay. Let's go to Bob in Sterling Heights. Welcome to the Internet Advisor on this patriotic July the 4th program. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
on my older machine, and please don't start yelling at me
because
running XP on it.
We won't yell.
Okay. I unfortunately did a compression on my Outlook Express files, and then when I reopened my my inbox, several months of recent emails were gone. I'm wondering if there's any software utility or anything to try to recover. I would suspect that the emails are still out on the hard drive somewhere, but I'm not sure how to find them. I'm wondering if there's any sort of software or utility program I might be able to try.
I've ran across this a number of times. Have you run across that? There's only one solution that I've ever found.
Then go ahead with that solution, my friend.
Okay, so Microsoft Outlook Express on an older computer, the actual files are, the inbox is installed in its own database. It's called a DBX, right? And so you got inbox.dbx, outbox.dbx. So search your computer for DBX files. Mm-hmm. And that's where your box is. But compression, that should not have been corrupted. So, obviously your compression, something's become corrupted. The only way that I've heard of to recover these is you actually install Microsoft Outlook, an older version of Microsoft Outlook, on your computer. So like Microsoft, and then you configure it to connect to your internet service provider's emails, an example, or Yahoo or AT&T or whatever. And then you tell Outlook, like Outlook 2003, Outlook 2007, that you wish to import your mail files, and then you point to your mail files.
The DBX files.
That's really the only way I've ever heard of recovering corrupted files.
Bob, we're going to put you on hold and dig a little deeper into that and see if we can find anything else, but that sounds like probably the best solution for you. So hang on there. Bob will be with you. Larry out there in Monroe will be with you as well. And for the rest of you, start calling 800-859-0957. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor Holiday Edition. That's right. Amidst the smoke from your barbecue, see if you can get on a cell phone and or any other kind of phone and give us a call at 800-859-0957. And we'll do our very best to help you out.
Every time you mention that smoke, my stomach just grumbles. I'm just ready to eat.
We have something going on in downtown Royal Oak called Rib Fest, and it means that the entire downtown area is permeated with that delicious smell. Larry from Monroe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Delighted to have you with us. How can we help you?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. My mom's computer got struck by lightning.
Ooh.
Ouch. And it won't power up at all. What's the best way to dispose of that? She's got, like, just her banking information and that on it.
You want to dispose of the computer itself?
Yeah, she bought a new one, and she's got this one sitting around, and I was wondering what's the best way to...
Well, you can let it get struck by lightning. you know what? If you're handy with a screwdriver, this is a desktop computer. I mean, I would suggest opening it up and just seeing if the hard drive physically looks damaged. Because usually the lightning is absorbed by the power supply.
Right.
It's hit or miss whether or not it'll actually go through all the other electrical connections like the motherboard
and
the hard drive.
I think he wants to, like, donate this to Kent Beck and make sure that none of the content gets out.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I see. You want to... thank you, Gary.
And what I was going to say is that way, when you're in there, you could take the hard drive and you use the cornering tool, which is what some people call a sledgehammer, and it's what you use to straighten, make a 90-degree angle out of the corner of the house. That's why it's called a cornering tool. And you take the sledgehammer and you smash it onto the hard drive.
Yeah, but if you want to do something, for instance, what Gary is suggesting, Steve Beck is a friend of ours who has a ministry called Global Tech Ministries. And what they do with that, is that they take the hard drives and then they bulk erase them, and then they will put on an operating system from Microsoft. So if the hard drive has not been physically destroyed by the lightning strike, Then you can give it away to an organization like that. Or it could be to anything. I know in Ann Arbor, there was an arborless organization that was working with developmentally disabled adults that, did a great job.
But they'll degauss it so that they completely erase any information that was on that and then reformat it and give it away then to people that can't afford a computer. Right.
And what components they can't use, they recycle. Yeah. Because there are companies all over the United States that submerge these things and they recover the gold, the silver, and copper from these things.
So Steve Beck's ministry again is?
It's called Global Tech Ministries. And what I'll do is I'll put that up on our homepage at internetadvisor.net so that you can get in touch. He helps schools in the United States and overseas and missionaries. And they just a wonderful organization that helps people out who, you know, your old machine may be the newest thing that they've seen in decades.
You know, a lot of times people think that they're storing their banking information on the computer. And I'm not saying they're not in this particular case, but a lot of people think they store their banking information on the computer, and really they don't.
Yeah. Right.
They're using a website. The information is at the website. They're just viewing that banking information. Mm-hmm. But to be on the safe side, either get it professionally degaussed by a group like Global Tech, or just take that hard drive out, give Global Tech the rest of the machine,
yes.
You can still use it,
yes,
and then destroy the hard drive in whatever fashion that feels good to you.
Yeah. Barbecue, drilling.
I generally prefer the drill. That is my favorite one to use.
Because when you go through the discs themselves.
Right through the casing, right through on the other side, put about 5 or 6 good holes in it, and then for good measure, get that Ed device and just smash it a couple of times.
It doesn't do any more to make you any safer or remove the content or make it hard for anybody to get to it, but it feels good.
It does feel so good.
You know, the other thing that works really well, too, is a good propane torch. You just heat that sucker up till it's red hot on a couple of spots, and you're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, but I always worry about the fumes. That's why I don't say about that.
What fumes?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Well,
right.
There's no fume. You're outside. The wind's blowing.
Have you noticed that little twitch that he has?
No.
800-859-0957.
Some people
is our
like
phone
that
number.
Smell. I mean.
Claude from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you on this July the 4th?
Well, actually, I was just listening to the gentleman that called before me. He says he was having some issues with Outlook Express corrupting some of the mailboxes.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually have about 60 gigs worth of email on my Outlook Express, and there's a couple things that that I do that I have the same issue that I use for solutions.
Okay.
First of all, the inbox will give you a maximum of 2 gigabytes worth of storage. Once you start hitting 2 gigabytes, you'll actually start corrupting the files and getting errors. The solution that I use to get around it, there's actually 2 things you can do. First of all, find out where the root mailbox is stored. If you just hit the inbox through the properties, it'll tell you where the actual box is stored on the C drive, and if you go to the folder, it'll give you a list of all the boxes. First thing you need to do is, once you start getting to about 2 gigabytes, is create another folder, like a subfolder, and this called like inbox one or something, and then close Outlook Express and rename your inbox to inbox one, and then delete the other inbox folder. This way, it'll take all your mail in the inbox, put it in the subfolder so no more mail can go in it, which will stop the corruption. It'll start you with a fresh inbox. I usually go like inbox 2012, 2013, 2014. And then the second thing is, if you have an inbox that's actually corrupted, it won't display any mail. Mm-hmm. If you do a Google search, there's a lot of companies out there that actually have software to fix a corrupted inbox.
Oh, really?
Usually about $20 to $30. You pull the you download the software, you tell it where the file is at, and it'll actually read the file and recreate all the mail that's in that file.
Wow. Do you have a particular, Claude, do you have a particular piece of software that you could recommend?
You know, every time I've done it, I've lost the software, and I ended up going and paying another like $20 or $30.
Okay.
They're called like OE Fix or something, and that's how it is.
Oh, I got you. OE Fix. Okay.
If you do like a Google search, it's like corrupted Outlook Express inbox.
Okay.
It usually there'll be like a link for the first or second one.
Well, you know, my hat's off to you. You've got a couple of very good solutions. By the way, folks, when we tell you folks to call in with questions, we also love it when people like Claude calls in with solutions that have worked for him in a very practical way. Thank you, Claude.
You know, Claude, I'm interested if I heard you right, you said 60 gigabytes of mail.
Yes.
How do you index that, or how do you make that useful to be able to search to find any old mail? And these must be over many years, right?
Well, believe it or not, I actually got a Windows XP machine that I have this running on, and I've got so many rules and everything, I actually like the way it works. Believe it or not, Google Desktop makes a very, they don't have it available anymore, but if you can find an older version, I run Google Desktop, it indexes every piece of mail in there. And the nice thing about it is I don't have to put it in any necessarily folders to search
mm-hmm.
it out,
mm-hmm.
But Google Desktop will say, oh, this is one from, like, I'll give you an example. If I'm searching out, like, an account number for one of my customers, I'll put the account number in. Google Desktop will find the message and tell me the date. And then
wow.
I just go back in there and look at the date, and then I can usually find it that way.
So it's just key searches using the Google Desktop. That's kind of neat.
That is...
The search in Outlook Express just does not work.
Right. Anymore. No,
right? Yeah.
Claude, thank you so much for a whole lot of help here. You get the prize. The most helpful call here on our edition.
You know, I didn't realize
extra hot dogs for him.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
I didn't realize that Outlook Express, I guess I should have, had a limitation of it 2 gigabytes. That was quite a long time ago when Outlook Express was.
You can imagine
relevant.
The hard drives were not that big,
right?
Way back and then. Okay, listen, we got another call here. Fred in Ohio. We'll be back with you in just a minute to help you solve your problem. And by the way, thank you very much again to Claude and to other people out there who may have some solutions. If you're us talking about something and you've got something that's worked for you, give us a call at 800-859-0957. Otherwise, we have another half of the program to go yet. So if you've got a question out there, we got a great holiday edition going here. Give us a call at 800-859-0957. And we'll get to answering your question. You know, Gary Baker, earlier in the show, you mentioned something that's important for our listeners as well. This is actually a 2-hour show, and our first hour was recorded just before we came online here, live, with our questions that we'll be answering. And we'll be talking with Fred and Colleen and John in just a moment, and you at 800-859-0957. This is a 2-hour show, so on Sunday night, if you come back to InternetAdvisor.net, you will find our podcast that will contain a first hour when we talk with Richard Steenan about his book called There Will Be Cyber War, a fascinating conversation on both some of the challenges that our military is facing, very real challenges they're facing in this new cyber war atmosphere.
And what he was basically saying is that if there is another type of conflict that's going to take place, there you can guarantee there's going to be cyber warfare involved in that.
Absolutely. And in particular, our military is vulnerable because of its network-centric approach that initially was very, very valuable to it back about 1995 during the Taiwan Straits crisis at that time, but has come to be very... Well, it's a vulnerability right now.
Well, I'm not sure.
To some extent?
So I was going to say, but doesn't that affect everybody, right? We're all using similar technology.
Very good. Very, very good. Very good point. And then that's also part of the book. It's in the book called There Will Be Cyber War. It's available on Amazon.
Well, you know, it's not a vulnerability necessarily, but I won't argue that.
You know, it also brings up an interesting question. Since it affects everybody, you know, I'm looking toward possibly even along with cyber warfare, it'd be guerrilla cyber warfare as well, with the population fighting the wars as well as the military itself.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Hacktivists.
Add that complexity.
Well, you know, in some ways,
that you can't control.
Yeah,
neither side can control.
Right, you've got that going on with the Syrian army, the Syrian Electronic Army, I think it's called, that's been doing a lot of hacking on all those things. Okay, Fred in Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, listen, I've got a problem with connecting and disconnecting.
Okay.
You know, to the Internet.
Okay.
We're on one of the local cables. Generally, they do a fairly good job.
Okay.
This is a fairly new machine. It's a HP 8.1 RT, and it happened, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago. All of a sudden, if you go to page 2 on anything that you're on,
mm-hmm.
boom, she shuts down. It may take 5 seconds, it may take 30 seconds, it may take a minute, and it comes back on, and then you can continue on with what you're trying to look for.
It comes back on by itself, Fred?
Excuse me, by itself, yeah, usually.
So when you say it goes off, what goes off?
Internet connection.
Oh, your internet connection goes down,
and disappears.
And is it only on page two of something?
Oh, yeah, it could be the first page. If you look at a picture on the near the top, and you want to go look at a picture near the bottom, whenever you moved, that's it. It quits and you're on your own.
When you move your mouse?
Yep, when you move the mouse.
Have you had a conversation with the cable provider?
These guys have been out here to my house about seven times.
Because sometimes they can say, yes, we're seeing problems with the
They claim that the feed lines are all up to power, and everything on the cable it's got plenty of power and working. Matter of fact, they put brand new cable all the way through my backyard, trenched a nasty-looking hole. It all started way back last October.
Now, when you were having this problem and you had to cable people out, were you able to show them that problem while they were there?
Oh, yeah, I showed them.
And they said that the problem was...
They said it looks like it's... I had some techs I thought were very good, and be honest with you, I thought they did a good job. They were nice and polite and thorough and all that. But nobody ever solved the problem.
Mm. Well, here, let me suggest something to you.
What did they tell you it was?
We ended up, the last couple of times, they said it was a computer program problem.
Okay. Cal, you had a question.
What I was going to suggest to you is that if you have a friend or a relative that has a laptop computer, have them bring it over, plug it into the same connection that you currently have your computer plugged in.
The guy did that.
And did it work?
The little bit of time he was here, yes, it did.
Then in that case, then I would probably say that you might want to have your computer itself checked out to see if there's a problem with it.
I've had it into two different places, and they say that, everything is okay.
And you're connecting wirelessly, right?
No, hardwired in.
It's all hardwired.
Oh, hardwired in, okay.
Yeah, I haven't got around to learning how to do wireless yet.
And do you have a laptop or a desktop?
A big 8.1, let's see.
Is it a desktop computer?
No, big desktop.
Yeah, so it's a big desktop. It's just a big monitor then. Is it one of those HP all-in-ones?
Say that slower. I didn't hear you.
Is it one of those Hewlett-Packard all-in-one units, which is just basically a big screen?
No. Oh, this is a stand-aside 8.1, 8 gigs, 1 terabyte.
Can you just take the network card out and replace it and see if that's it?
You know, I'm wondering, most modern computers have wireless built into it, so just turn off the wireless. I know you said you're hardwired, but turn off just the wireless.
Well, listen, we haven't graduated up to wireless yet.
Oh, I know.
No. He's saying that it might be conflicting with the wired, so you can turn it off.
Yeah, there's a way of turning
it
off.
I don't know how to turn
wireless.
It off, babe.
Okay.
Well, if it's a brand new machine that you bought from HP, you could give them a call. I'm sure they have a support number that could probably walk you through on it.
I talked to them 50 times.
Ask them the specific question. Ask them the specific question of how do you turn it off.
Wouldn't this be control panel? Couldn't you get to it?
I didn't get that last thing you said.
Well, yeah, there are two people talking. So, I'm sorry, Cal, what was the one thing you said?
No, I was just saying to suggest for him to call HP, but he said he already did that.
Right, and how you turn off the wireless is, Gary's saying you can go into the control panel under, I think it's networking, and you could possibly turn it. But, I really don't think that's it. That isn't it, babe. So have you tried a different web browser as an example? So right now...
Because the guys from the cable company came out, one of them put me on...
Chrome,
and the other put me on Firefox.
Okay.
And I kind of got disgusted with Firefox and both of them. I like the internet favorites.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for saving everything.
Fred, if you would do me a favor and
figure
out how to turn your wireless off and see if that helps.
Well, how do you do that?
All right. I tell you what, Fred, here's what we're going to do, because I think this is going to take a little more conversation. Will you do me a favor when... the show is over here. Give us send an email to internetadvisor.net. Go to the internetadvisor.net.
Wait a minute. You're going too fast,
okay,
for me, babe.
Go to our
internet, InternetAdvisor.net.
That's our homepage.
Well, I can pick up WJR and find you on there.
Well, okay, but our homepage is InternetAdvisor.net, and then there's a Contact Us button on that. Click on that, and then what
What kind of a number?
It's called the Contact Us button. Yeah, it's near the top of the page. So what you do then is you click on that, you put in your email address, and then also put in what the problem is, and we'll take some time to look at this ourselves. And see if we can get you an answer for this. Because it's going to obviously take a little more time than we can spend right now.
Right. And the one thing I didn't understand, he said that it goes off and then it comes back on by itself. So, and I'm not sure what that meant.
Yeah, give us as much explanation as you can, Fred, okay? Thanks a million for that. It was going to take a little more time, I think, than we could take right now.
And it sounds like he's done quite a number of steps already.
Yep, and he's had techs out. Colleen from Plymouth, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you. I had a brief two questions. One was, I do my banking online mostly.
Okay.
And it used to say password, and I'd say no. And then one time I must have clicked yes, because now whenever I go into my bank account, I don't have to type in my password.
Yeah, the browser remembers it, I think, probably. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right. And is that safe? Does that make more vulnerable to hackers?
All right, let's see, guys. What's your thoughts on this?
It has always been my guideline to all the people that I know is not to save your passwords in your browser like that. And I would probably go in and clear it out. What browser do you use? Do you use Internet Explorer?
Firefox.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I have Internet Explorer also, but I usually use Firefox because my work at home, and the applications that we use require Firefox.
Sure. Guys, well, how about Gary and Ed? What are your thoughts on that? Is it safe to have the browser keep?
Of course not.
I wouldn't do that.
We have to tell her how to take it off.
Yes,
I don't know how to do that in Firefox, but I'm sure it's pretty easy. And I know how to do it in Internet Explorer. You just go in the content, you say remove all my personal information, and there's all these things in there cache and fire. History and stuff like that.
You'll probably also find a tool that will allow you to individually take off that.
Exactly.
Tell her to keep listening. Maybe in the next break, we can probably tell her exactly off
so
here.
Colleen, here. After the break, we're going to come back and give you some more thoughts on that, okay?
Okay. I just arrived at my friend's.
Okay, hang on, Colleen. We'll have to get back to you in just a moment here with the Internet Advisor. And it's time for a word from Mr. Mike Brennan, who's the editor of MI Tech News. As part of our holiday weekend, it's time to check in with Mr. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News. Mike, how are you doing out there in holiday heaven?
Well, right now I'm in West Michigan on a lake or near a lake with some friends, and we're celebrating the 4th of July, and I certainly hope everybody else there out there in the listening land does the same thing.
And does it safely as well. Well, Mike, let's talk about some of the headlines that you have in this week's MI Tech News, which, by the way, folks, you can get absolutely free, and we'll tell you how to do that in just a moment. But one of the first articles I saw on there that was just fascinating was that for the first time ever now in Macomb County, they've hooked up a kind of a special benefit when you get a jury summons.
Uber, very controversial right now because there's some issues with the Uber drivers in some places, not necessarily Macomb County. But, you get a free ride, essentially. You get $20 each way, $40 round trip. Now, if it's more than that, then I think you're on the hook for the additional part of it.
Right.
But it's innovative in the sense of Uber's this online service where you're going to non-traditional taxi service.
Yeah.
And we're experimenting with that right here in Michigan. I think that's great.
I think it's fascinating that the county would do that to make sure that people got there for jury duty. Absolutely free ride to the courthouse. One of the other things I saw in an article that caught my eye was about the Henry Ford Maker Faire announcing some entertainment coming up. Talk a little bit about what the Maker Faires are, and I know that's a new focus for you.
Yeah, we just created the Maker Michigan section, and I'm going to be starting in the fall. I'm going to be working with the University of Michigan School of Information. That's where all the computer geeks are, because a lot of these folks make these maker things, and they could be anything from robotics to 3D printing to it's just whatever. And it really capitalizes on the heritage here of Michigan of having really creative people that are good with their hands. And this is a movement that's particularly strong among the millennials right now, and it's sweeping the country. So the Maker Faire in Detroit at the Henry Ford Museum is July 25th and 26th. We're a sponsor. We'll have a booth there. Stop on by and say hi. But 25,000 people are expected over those 2 days. 400 exhibitors. So
Yeah, this really is catching on. It sounds exciting. Hey, one last thing I saw here, Mike, and it's more about a service that you offer, not just news about events that are going on, entrepreneurial things or technology things, but you also have got a little corner there called Entrepreneur's Corner where you offer some services or advice for entrepreneurs, and I saw one there about four legal issues that entrepreneurs should be addressing.
Yes, we picked that up courtesy of our partner, Michipreneur.com. Amanda Lawan does a fabulous job with this. But, what we want to do, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there. I mean, I'm one of those. And you're good at something, but I can tell you, you're not good at everything. and so, you know, the more advice and the more help you can get, the more success you're going to have. And certainly legal issues are the number one thing you have to start off with.
I mean,
how do you set up the company? How do you do the partnership agreements and all that? Very good tips there, that four legal issues you need to address. You can find it at my website, mitechnews.com, and so much more.
Absolutely. And, folks, I wanted to point that out to you as well, because not only do you get a lot of news with MI Tech News, but now more and more we're getting resources for people like, for instance, if you're an entrepreneur, that can help you with getting your business off safely and securely and legally as well. Mike, we should tell people that the good news is all this goodness is free, and all they have to do is either go to mitechnews.com and subscribe there, or go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page to your smiling face, click the subscribe now button, and they're on their way every Friday to receive this kind of information and so much more absolutely free. And there's audio, there's video, there's a ton of stuff, folks. It's like a Christmas package every Friday. Mike, thank you so much for being with us, and I don't want to take any more time away from your sun and fun out there in West Michigan.
Absolutely. And everybody else, and Foster, have a great 4th of July.
Same to you too, Mike. Thanks. He is headed back to the beach. Thank you again, Mike, for being with us. Cal, you had something more for Colleen on that question about saving her banking password on Firefox.
Exactly. And so, and she can get this information if she goes to MozillaSupport.com as well. But it's really simple. On the menu bar, she'll see four horizontal lines. Click that, and it'll bring up a selection. Choose Preferences, then choose Security. Then after that, click on Save Passwords, and that'll bring up another box. It's the Password Manager. On that one, she'll see a button that says Remove All. She clicks that, and that password's gone.
I think, I imagine you can also remove individual ones if you want to as well.
You can do that as well on that Password Manager as well.
Right, exactly. Okay, very good. All right, let's go back out to our callers, and let's say hello to Mike from Chelsea. Mike, thank you for waiting patiently. And how can we help you here on the holiday edition of the Internet Advisor?
Hi, guys. Thanks. When I go to a web page, often after a few minutes, it'll get redirected to something that says the web address you entered cannot be found. You're trying to go to Facebook widgets, or you're trying to go to Facebook plugins, and sometimes it's something even hotter.
What type of browser are you using?
I'm sorry?
Which internet browser are you using when you're...
Well, it's AOL, but it does the same thing on Internet Explorer.
Really?
Well,
AOL, I thought, used the Internet Explorer as its browser, and they just rewrap it in the AOL package. You might want to go into Internet Explorer and see if you have any add-ons.
Yeah, I tried that.
Did you disable or find any add-ons?
Oh, just the ones by Microsoft. I disabled all the other ones.
Oh, really? Okay. Have you downloaded like Malwarebytes, the free antivirus or anti-malware scanner? And just scanned your computer, and you're still nothing, huh?
How about, have you tried downloading something like Chrome as a browser?
I'm not familiar enough with it to do it.
Well, it's pretty simple, and it's pretty clean as well. But, Cal, I think you may have some other thoughts.
Eddie came across something that kind of triggered something in my head. Since AOL just wraps IE to be able to use it, why not just go in and reset IE?
Right,
it'll keep all his bookmarked, his favorites and stuff like that, but it'll reset the browser back to when he first popped it out of the box and see if that'll fix it.
Also, another thing, if I hit the go back previous, button,
mm-hmm.
then it'll go back to that web page.
It goes back to the...
Back to the one I really wanted to go to.
Yeah. You might want to see AOL is making all their money right now because of the advertisements. I mean, really, that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think Microsoft just sold the advertisements to Bing to AOL.
Yes.
So they're giving up that portion of it. So I don't know why you're still using AOL as your internet service provider. Because
I think it's because of my favorite places, really.
Yeah, and I think so. But you might want to try an alternate browser. Once you dial up to AOL, then just use an alternate browser like Chrome. But the other thing is that if you go through your control panel and look at all the AOL software that's running, there's probably 8 to 12 AOL programs that are actually running when you power up your computer. So if you do the Control-Alt-Delete or just do the, you know, Task Manager, you'll see AOL Subscription Service, AOL, you know, all these different mm-hmm. AOLs, AOL mm-hmm. Dialer, and a lot of those are feeding ads to your computer.
Ah, okay.
And the other thing about when Eddie said to go to Chrome or something like that, when you install Chrome, it's going to ask you, would you like to bring all your favorites into
yes.
Chrome?
Yes.
So it'll bring all your favorites right into Chrome, so you'll be able to continue your work just like you were still using your
and
other
you
browser.
Don't have to make it your main browser, but it will give you an alternative to AOL and to IE.
And at least to diagnose it, is that the problem?
For diagnostic, diagnostic purposes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mike, for calling. And John out there in Farmington Hills, we'll get to you offline just after our show. We're wrapping things up right now.
And Chrome was the Google browser, just for everybody
yes,
else.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gary and Ed and Cal, for being here. Thank you also to Eric Dornscher and to Mike Stett, who have been working behind the glass there. Folks, it's been a great holiday program. My name is Foster Brown, co-host and producer of the program. Don't forget that tomorrow night, Sunday night, we will be offering you 2 hours of our program, our entire podcast, through our internetadvisor.net homepage. Please stop by there and make sure that you download the podcast for yourself. Have a great and a safe holiday weekend.